What up, LoveQuest Nation? You are listening to our latest episode of our 9 a.m. Sunday experience, recorded live at our location in Vancouver, BC. So come on in and enjoy a powerful right now word brought to you by our founding and lead pastor, Pastor Terrence Richmond. Enjoy.
Thank you for the day that you have made. We rejoice and we are so glad to be in it. Lord, we thank you that we have the privilege to be back in your house. One more time. It's months and months. There's people wishing they could be in their home, wishing that school would let them rent one more Sunday. And there's many believers displaced right now. And so we lift up the body of Christ that leaders will not get discouraged. Come on, leaders will not get discouraged. Churches that you have called to be open will not shut down. Pastors and wives and children will remain together and not let the weight of carrying people and carrying their cross and carrying your mission deflate them. But I just send your spirit now, Lord God. Now send your word now, Lord God. And we say, arise, man and woman of God. Arise, wherever you may be. Arise. It is not over. It is just beginning in Jesus' name. Arise. Here at LoveQuest, we do not take it for granted that we can walk into our church building. And we thank you for the bursting, for souls, for lives changing and transforming each and every single day. And may we have our ears open, our eyes open today. And Lord, we rejoice over one first-time attendee being present. So we thank you for the fruit that you have allowed us to steward. But we call in greater harvest. Greater harvest. People who are willing to see the gospel advance. People who are hungry to serve in your church. People who are hungry to know you. And LoveQuest, Lord, we promise we'll be prepared and equipped for this great harvest that you have already been sending to us. And so thank you, we have eyes to see. Thank you that the word will be delivered uncompromisingly, free from error, full of power and transformation. And may you confirm your word with signs, miracles, and wonders in the mighty and majestic name of Jesus. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, it's getting hot in here, but keep on all your clothes. It is so hot, I'm gonna keep my clothes on. Stop playing. I love it. I love it. Anyway, I'm excited about today. All these people whining and crying about how hot it is, and then when it's raining, when it's cold, we want hot. That's why, trust me, Canadians, you don't want to move to California. As much as you think you want it, you will appreciate the rain and the seasons. Right now in Sacramento, it is 111 degrees, 140, and that's the church I go to back home, and they are having church outside. Thank God for Vancouver right now. So I'll take whatever it's going to be today rather than be sitting outside. Because you can't blow no fan in the outside because you just fanning hot air. We can't let the spirit of familiarity run us out of paradise. All right. Canada, Vancouver, you are a very blessed people. Trusted from somebody who grew up in California. You are blessed. Do not move to California. It's a beautiful place, great place to be, but you got to be equipped to be there. You can't just move because of the sun. You got to be able to handle the hood. You got to be able to handle the intensity. You got to be able to handle the in your face. That's the one thing I miss about, and this has to do with my message today, but the one thing I miss about home is the realness. The realness. You drive down the street, it is what it is. Somebody frustrated with you, they're going to talk to you. Church, Folks going through pain, they're going to shout about it. There's no passiveness. There's no holding back. The church is a means of fighting for my life. Right? And as beautiful as California is, I love the tension in the air. Tension births healthy culture. Right? Forget separating everybody and putting Asians in Richmond and putting the East Indians in. No, let us all just deal with our differences instead of separating us. And that's a spirit that keeps people divided, and that's not love. As beautiful as the mosaic is, I'll take a melting pot any day. Why? Because it forces us to deal with our differences. Amen. It's going to be hot in here, so the best way you can stay awake today is to respond. If you find somebody too quiet, turn it down. If you find somebody too quiet, just give them a nice little shout, right? Just, hey, that's it. Try. Yep. Carolyn just jumped in. I see you, Natalia, a little bit. I see you jump a little bit. But today, it's crazy. I want to move on to the power of all these other 10 powers, but then something jumps out in the middle of the week, and I'm like, oh, yeah. And so the other day I shared something with the team, and something jumped out at me that I think is very important. Today we're going to talk about the power of authentic identity and image. The world is really less confused than the church, because the world is doing what the world's supposed to do. I didn't become more confused until I did become saved, because there's this real war that's activated. That's the new man and the what? Old man. That's the new man and the old man. There we go. Just making sure. Lips start hanging, so I didn't know if you were starting to fall asleep. But that's the new man and the what? Old man. And church carries some of the most, if I was to keep it real, fakeness in the world. That's why some folks don't want to fool with the church, because we be fake. It don't mean you come in here and be a hot mess, but that's why our praise is so contagious, because human to human, you know everything ain't okay. There's no one in this planet that's not going or dealing with something. But when you find someone navigating through authentic joy, it's contagious, because human to human, I know we both living in this crazy world. I know you see the same news I see. You're on the same IG I am. You have your challenge with fear, your challenge with family stuff. Certain statistics say that you don't have both parents in your house. Certain statistics say X, Y, and Z. But when I find a people that's full of joy, it's really contagious. And so when I have encountered a culture that can be quiet, passive, and I've been resisted when it came to my, let's go! That has been one of the greatest tensions I've faced here. Is to keep my foot on the joy pedal and not, don't let nobody deter me from celebrating my salvation. The world is looking for an authentic church. But if the bride does not know who she is, the world will not see him. It's nothing like walking with an insecure spouse on your hip. It's not healthy for what? Nobody. And if we are going to walk in the splendor, the glory of the Most High, then guess what we got to do? We got to be the most joyous, the most healthy, the most vibrant people that are walking on planet Earth, if we're standing for the way, the truth, and the life. Does your life look like, I want to go that way? When people see you, do they see you as a way to what they're thirsting and hungry for? Authentic identity, the power of authentic identity and image. I was raised by a real one. Like, my mama just kept it all the way. I've shared a few conversations I've had when I was drooling over some girl and crying because she hurt me. If you remember what my mama said, boy, quit all of that old amen stuff. Wasn't baby in me. It wasn't. And sometimes I'm like, okay, Ma, I just need a hug right now. But there was times where a woman, a single mom raising a young black man in America, there's a certain rawness that I'm glad she kept, right? There's a certain rawness. And that's what I try to bring to leadership as well. But you find most people run from authenticity. The moment they're vulnerable, they begin to run and point at your flaws and all the reasons why they need to go hide with other insecure people, afraid people, excuse-making people. And what we do is we naturally gravitate towards other insecure people, even in our marriage, our relationship choices. When we're looking for someone, you notice how you will draw someone. Listen, they may not be the same as you fruit-wise, but if you dig far enough, you will see that you guys are similar in your root system. Insecurity, fears, anxiety, anger, depression, abandonment, whatever the case may be. That's why it's very dangerous to come to the altar before you have real questions answered. No. I don't really care what kind of food you like. I'll ask you that when we get back. I'll see when you order. I mean, we can't be wasting money and time without getting to the root of stuff. Because no matter what, if we keep avoiding the root, the fruit will produce itself. And it doesn't matter if I like it or not. If I am Jonah running from God, wherever I go, you will partake in my rebellion. That's why you have to be careful with people living out of, getting in covenant with people that's out of God's will. Because whatever comes up on them, depending on your posture, it's going to come up on you. You have to share that. Why? You're in covenant with a rebellion. Authentic identity and image. I'm really going to try to take my time today. Questions like, one of the greatest questions right now that keeps seminars full and number one books sold and YouTube channels going crazy is because of this one question. Who am I? Who am I? See, we'll pay for a seminar with somebody to tell us who we are before we pay for someone to help us unveil who we are. So we'll go and pay for inspiration, but we will not pay for irrigation. We won't pay for someone to dig deep and walk with us and take all the nasty stuff out so we can discover who we really are. We'll pay for a concert that will give us a few hours away from stress. We'll pay from, man, I was watching The Drug Business. It's on Netflix. The marijuana business, crazy. The war on drugs. And you can't believe that the millions of people that are addicted to drugs are just worldly people. No, it's Christians too. It's Muslims. It's people who love God but are struggling with their image. Who am I? Am I a failure? All right, we don't want the faith answer right now. I want you to, everyone has asked ourselves or felt this way about ourselves or felt something. Everyone has, some of us, most of us, are still struggling with insecurities. whether you've become a mature coper or not, that's one thing. Whether you have told us or we haven't found out that you're struggling with it, but when you by yourself, you're struggling with something. Who am I? Am I a failure because I didn't make this or that? Should I live in this country? Why am I not doing this by this age? This whole age thing, this whole, did I miss it somewhere? You know, you find young ladies who've been molested, or men, been molested or raped, and then you do what? You blame yourself. Somehow someone mistreating you speaks to your worth. So you begin to belittle who you are because someone else didn't know who they were. Am I not enough? Nah, I don't qualify for that job. Nah, he too good for me. She way too good for me. They make too much money. They make too little money. Look at that car. I can never amount up to that person. That person's black. That person's white. That person's short. That person's tall. That person's buff. That person got six pack. Man, look at that person. And what we've done in culture is we've placed people's items as their value. Therefore, if we don't have those items, we're not as valuable. Not realizing that those with valuable items are looking for people with valuable souls and valuable identity. Am I ugly? Why are they not looking at me? Why are they looking at her? So what do? We try to do things that will, again, comparison kills us. Comparison kills identity. Whether you're comparing time frames, I should be here. Look at that person. They're there and I'm not here. How that person younger than me? Who said that your success is an age thing? Who says that your success is an item thing? And what we have to understand is we're called to be witnesses. We're called to be witnesses, and whatever your brand is your witness. Am I dumb? Oh my God, that was dumb. I'm so dumb. Oh my God. We will cancel ourselves just so won't nobody else cancel us. Listen to the mentality. I'm going to cancel myself before you cancel me. The spirit of sabotage is latched on to the Achilles heel of insecurity. And because I don't think I'm qualified, I'll disqualify myself so I don't have to deal with rejection. Maybe I was raised a certain way. I had to answer a certain way. I had to know everything. I had to know everything a certain way. I had to have a reason why I don't know. I had to figure it out. And a lot of times, we can't just look at physical abuse and having drug parents as bad parents only. But there's great parents who, how they raised us with great intentions, still chipped away at our identity. Maybe due to how they were raised, right? We make our kids have to qualify. We make our kids have to know instead of being okay with not knowing. Not knowing opens the gateway for this thing called relationship and dependency. It's nothing like sitting with someone that knows everything. Look, just I've learned to shut my mouth when I know something, but I know someone. The Bible talks about sitting in front of greatness. When I'm around Dr. Godot, when I'm around mentors, they may have revelation, but it's not my time to share my revelation. It's my time to get revelation. And when you're sitting before a person that is showing they want to know, even if they do know, it's empowering the sower to keep sowing. But what we do is we trade what we know. Now, I don't want to trade knowledge all the time. I want to listen, but then we don't know how to listen because we're insecure that I want them to know I know. I want them to know I'm smart too. I want them to know I was on IG and I see I'm up on the current events. I just want people to know. That's pride. Right? And that's why a male can't work and a female and a female. Somebody got to do the sowing and somebody got to do the receiving. Amen. And when you have a healthy receiver and a healthy sower, you'll have healthy fruit. But when you're in relationships where when you're in a relationship where you're trading off affirming each other, that's unhealthy. When I always got to affirm you, and then next week you're going to have to affirm me because we just both insecure and we fail to look at our root system and get healthy before entering covenant. And guess what Jesus came to do? Is have covenant with the world. But if we're just as unhealthy as the world, who do they have to look to? Drake, of course. Drake looked like he's happy. Drake can relate to me. Nicki Minaj, talk about what she talking about. Man, when she have a concert, joy. I much rather follow somebody that got joy gloating in sin than look depressed gloating in life. Wait a minute, you talking about Jesus? Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Why are you singing that with a frown? Why are you not happy? You been delivered? You once was lost, but now you lost, looks like. You lost or you found? Which one are you? I hear it. You free? Free indeed. Or you on layaway? What you on? The world is looking and we confuse the world because we haven't yet accepted who we are in Jesus. And we look to the world for identity more than we look to Christ. Man, I'm poor. Am I really poor? Here you go. We may think poor is a couple blocks over and homeless. No, poor can be you make $100,000 a year and you don't steward it well, or you also don't think it's enough. I figured one of the quickest ways you can increase is to decrease. Maybe we can't do unlimited plan. Take off $50 on your bill. Guess what you just did? Increase $50. Instead of living in this stress zone to have to get more, never entering rest. We're in a culture, enough is never enough. It's never enough. Not even God is enough. You can't get skinny enough. You go look anywhere, thousands and thousands of men and women have to practically kill themselves to be on a runway. And guess what we do? We support. What is it called? Fashion. What is fashion linked to? Identity. So you can never get small enough. You can have a nice body. You can have a nice body for your frame. But based on what you think beautiful is and healthy is, look, I ain't supposed to see her clavicle. I'm not supposed to see her spine. Her thighs ain't supposed to be the same size as her calves. But that's what beautiful is. I'm not rich enough. Am I rich? Am I poor? The search for identity is never ending as long as what your identity is found on or in is changeable. The search is never ending as long as what my identity is found on or found in is changeable. I'm going to say it again.
As long as what I put my hope is changeable, I will always search for identity. Why? Because if what my identity is in changes, then I have to find a new identity. If I find identity in spouse, they make me unhappy. Guess what? I got to either fix them or I got to find another spouse. If it's in fashion, if fashion change, I'm going to go from skinny pants to bell bottoms, whatever fashion tells me it is, guess what? It is. If my identity, we have a bunch of people rapping songs, singing songs. That's not their reality. But because of what is accepted, that's what I have to be. And that's why the commons and that's not pop music. Pop music is not real music. It may have a form of someone's reality, but look, I'm not in the hood no more, man. I live up on the hill. My family is out of that situation. I'm no more poor. I don't even smoke weed. But you're not gonna get no deal being real. But this is what we do. We call it real. Facts. No cap. 100. And guess what the church do? We talk just like that. We do the same thing. But we have truth. Why can't common be pop? Why can't the Roots be pop? Why can't Jill Scott be swiped out by Nicki Minaj? Why can't we get Lauryn Hill the money Nicki making? If you understand the setup of the world, it's not for you to ever live in spirit and truth. It's for you to constantly chase a false reality, illusions. And in the end, when you're facing death, wish you would have did it over. And now what's so sad is, when you get signed with one of the hardest things is you're getting paid to portray an image. An image that will what? Sell. And in order to portray an image that will sell, you have to sell your soul. Literally, you have to sell your soul. You have to be something every day for a people in order to maintain that lifestyle. So all cops aren't bad cops. But when they're a part of a system that says you have to be this cop, you have to carry out these laws by any means necessary, you have to, then when fear is driving the streets, people get shot unnecessarily. Not permitting it, not saying it's okay. But when you become a part of a system, that system eventually will dictate who you are. And the system is a lot stronger than you think you are. Or you're going to betray the system. The kingdom of God is a system. A never-changing system. A prospering system, a always on time system, a faithful system. It's a healthy system. It's a whole system. It leads to wholeness. Images are developed in dark rooms. And that's why the Bible warns us against our thought life. Carrying every, because that's where my true image is. But how long have you and I went believing the lies? How long have we been raised by people who believed the lies? And a part of being an interruption in the bloodline is changing what happens in the dark room. You cannot protect toxic thoughts. Bible says, tell your sins, confess them to your neighbor. That don't mean tell the whole church. Find a neighbor and confess it. Why? You are getting it out of the dark room. James 1 warns you against the dark room, and it develops and it creeps up to sin, and sin gives birth to what? Death. And what you think is happening in secret, trust me, God sees you, number one, and he says, because I love you, I'm going to have to tell on you and I'm going to expose you one day for accountability. That's why we run from accountability. Why? We want to stay in the dark room. Pride, independent spirit is a form of a dark room. I want to do me. It's a dark room. I want to control the scenario. It's a dark room. See, accountability helps us see. Accountability gives us perspective. Images can be deadly to an identity built on sand. Images can be deadly to an identity built on sand. An identity built on sand. An identity built on what? Sand. You got to ask yourself, is your house, your identity, your person, are you built on the rock or sand? Not asking, do you know the word? I'm asking, are you building your life on the word? Images can be deadly to an identity built on what? Sand. Authenticity is not that popular today. That's why in leadership we fight for authenticity. We fight against division. We fight against murmuring and complaining. We fight against it because it eats at the fiber of authenticity. Because what happens is when you fake or when you murmur, when you complain, when you bully people in leadership, guess what happens? People then are forced to either leave or be a certain kind of way to get accepted into your little circle. Authenticity is not that popular today. Every test and season you face authenticates your identity. Can I get an amen? Amen. Every, this is why it's so crucial to not run from seasons. And to not rush the process. Because what is happening is authentication. Every test and season I was watching the thing, I just can't help it, but they're talking about the marijuana business. This is like medication as well. I think one of the reasons they make it so high to enter into the marijuana business is because we want to get it as far away from the people who was making money on it in the black market, and the government want full control. So it's another thing to keep the wealthy wealthy. But also, they were like, well, one thing you don't get on the street is you don't know what's in your stuff. Somebody creeping up behind you, Stephen. Amen. There you go, brother. I got your back. And so to be a part of it, you have to actually run through like all these fees. And a part of the fees is authentication, pure, making sure it's not laced with anything that can cause someone else harm. Right? And so what you have to understand is the same thing with needing to be authentic, with needing to go through seasons. It is to prove and develop your pureness. But a lot of people don't want to be purified. Purify me. Stop lying. Burn me beautiful. You don't want that. Because every single season, you're trying to rush it through. You can't rush the process. You can't rush a cake. You can't rush chicken. You can't rush a hen. It will kill you. It's not good. It's not healthy. It's not enjoyable. Neither are you when you don't go through authentication. And you find people who are in the fast lane and just, man, I see so many artists that just, man, when if I do a show with them or if, man, back home or even here, there's just something different. And some people come and be like, man, Love Quest, the crew, you guys is so. And one thing you're experiencing is authenticity. Even if you're being real wrong, if you're being authentically sinful, yes, it's attractive, but there's nothing that transforms like authentic life. Yeah. Amen. I had great time in the clubs. But now I have never had as much fun as I have up here worshiping with you guys and doing what I do in the club now than when I did back then. Authenticity, authentic life, that's what the world needs, is authentic peace. Not a clone. Authenticate means to prove or show something, especially a claim or an artistic work. It's to authenticate. It's to authenticate, right? Some people have fake Gucci bags. A fake Gucci bag is good because it looks real. Right? It's the Bentley versus the, what car was that? Right? It's just that's the difference. It's the 300 versus the Bentley. You could put the Bentley grill on the 300, but it ain't a Bentley. Right? You can put the clothes of a happy person on, but it don't mean your soul is happy. You can talk happy, but it don't mean your soul is happy. You can talk real, but it don't mean you real. And the church got to be people who is not so caught up by a white grill versus really seeing past somebody's white grill, pearly whites, and really getting to the soul of the issue. I challenge you to believe that your friends and family, if you were quiet long enough and listened to them, you would hear their soul crying out for help. Authenticate is to be true or genuine. It's to validate. It's to validate. Say validate. It is to have one's identity, what? Verified. You know why it seems like God's taking forever, or your ministry or your business? I think you're trying to skip over this season. The season of authentication. This is a season. And it's not a quick one. Because the moment you think you're like, cool, God, I've learned. He's like, all right, now we're ready to learn the next thing. He deals with you in pieces. So he might have needed to get you to break away from something. You're like, cool, I broke away. He might have needed to get you to move somewhere. Just because I've answered the call don't mean I'm walking in my call. Just because I moved to from California to Canada don't mean I still have the work to do. Some of us think because we showed up, that's what God wanted. God don't need you to show up. He needs you to show up and be about it. He don't need you to just separate. He needs you to separate and consecrate. With the increase of image portals, we are in the greatest identity crisis this world has ever seen. Image portals. Never heard of it before, but those two words sound good together. Image portals. Cell phones. It's a portal to sell you image. Laptops. TVs. You go to the gas station and pump. Look up. TV. You go to the bathroom now. TV. You go look at any bus stop, any airport, any restaurant. Families. All locked in a portal that's meant to send you what? Images. Netflix. Hulu. All kinds of portals are opening. And how is it that all of them can be multi-million dollar businesses? Is because you can't have enough options to sell image. Movies, YouTube. You look all over the place, billboards. And we got to get the image clearer. 4K, 5K, Let's get it clearer and clearer so we can sell you some options to feed your insecurity. Well, maybe in this season, I'm going to go with this style. Maybe in this season, I'm going to move here. I'm tired of Vancouver. I'm going to move to Hawaii. I'm tired of Hawaii. I'm going to go to Australia. No, you keep running from identity. And your identity is not found in a country. Your identity is found in a man. And his name is Jesus. Your identity is something on the inside. Has nothing to do with what country you're in. Has nothing to do with what city you're in. And it has nothing to do with who your friends are. All those things can contribute to, but it never validates. Identity. I wanted to look at identity crisis. Identity crisis is the failure to achieve ego identity during adolescence. Successful resolution of this, the crisis, depends on one's progress what? Through. Progress what? Through. Progress what? Through. The successful resolution of an identity crisis depends on one's progress through. Previous developmental stages, that's what seasons are. Look at the plants, look at the earth. There are seasons, that thing. It may not be no leaves on that tree, but there's life happening, getting ready for the next season to give you that beautiful thing you really want to keep looking at. I just wish the leaves was there. No, you don't, because they wouldn't reproduce. And if the Lord called us to be what? Fruitful, then guess what you have to do? You have to go through seasons of development. Developmental stages centering on issues such as trust, autonomy, and initiative. If you look back, how have you dealt with your challenges versus how you deal with them now? Silence, passivity is not an option for growth. And just because the storm is quieter doesn't mean it's not raining and thundering and lightning. You've just been in the storm long enough to now the storm is your norm and you've adjusted or adapted to the conditions. Someone, some woman can adjust to abuse. Some man can adjust. Homeless people can adjust to being homeless. They figured it out. I know when to get my mat. I know what places keep me out the rain. You begin to adjust to your status quo, and there is change developing, but it's not the kind of change that God, it's not the kind of change that leads to transformation. It's the kind of change that leads to adaptation. And if you're not careful, you will mistake adapting for transformation. Why does it look like transformation? Because before I couldn't adapt. I couldn't stand it. Now all of a sudden I can stand it. God didn't ask you to stand it. He asked you to walk over it. He asked you to overcome. Learn from it. Pursue. Overtake. Recover all. Step out of the thing. Previous developmental stages centering on issues such as trust, autonomy, and initiative. And also, act on that sense in a way, here we go, that has continuity and sameness. Wholeness. Consistency. No matter if I'm tired or not, when I put the reps in for my shot, muscle memory allows me to still remain accurate even when my body don't want to do what it do. You've trained your muscles to respond a certain way. That's why you work out not to fatigue, but through fatigue. I'm preaching so well right now. You're not to work out to fatigue. You're to work out through fatigue. watching JT get his butt kicked yesterday working out. And a good trainer is not mad at you because you are slowing up. A good trainer understands you're slowing up because your muscle is fatigued. It's biologically impossible for you to go as quick when you've did this 100 times. But what they're looking for is you to keep your form. And as long as you keep your form, you're still developing muscle. As long as you're keeping your form. So I may not be going as quick, but keep that form. But I'm still working the muscle. The Lord isn't asking you to be perfect. He isn't asking you to eat me. He says, after you've done all that you could do, what you could do is keep trying. What you could do is keep working. What you could keep doing is keep trying and keep working, because he's developing muscle, James 1 tells you. But what we do is when we get too fatigued, T-O and T-O-O, we stop. Therefore, in the fourth quarter, with 5 seconds to go, we don't want to take the shot because we know we haven't put the work in. Therefore, our confidence is challenged when fatigue settles. What goes first when people are fatigued is confidence. But when you put in the work, when you're the first one in the gym and the last one, when you shut your mouth instead of complaining, guess what happens when pressure comes? Power. Because you went through, not just to. And let me tell you, unless you're willing to go through and keep form, you will always have a frustrated faith. And what happens when people are tired of just going from season to season, you find a place to adapt, you find an identity, you find a person, you find a job, you find a thing, and you break and you begin to adapt and settle. Nothing's changed. You've just adapted instead of, yea, though I walk through. James 1 tells us to, while our faith is being tested, the trying of our faith is being tested, keep on fighting, so in the end of that test, you will lack nothing. Patience will have its perfect work. But we're in a society that we need stuff now. And understand that because your time runs out doesn't mean God's time ran out. There's this thing in the scripture that says that he will finish the work until Jesus comes back. Which means even though grandmama died, she was just a carrier of the work. But the work he was doing in her is still continuing. It's not about your clock running out. It's not about you having kids. It's about you interrupting the bloodline. So if your cousin or your auntie or your sister have kids, they will have kids with, have some healthiness. It's not all about you getting the jewels and you getting the candy and you getting, maybe somebody in the bloodline got to take a break of the pattern. Let me tell you, marriage could be a pattern in your bloodline that has kept things going, because great-grandmama could have married somebody that let something into the bloodline. Now, great-grandmama, how she raised mama, or your grandmama, now she raised your mama, and now your mama, but based on who they got in covenant with. You see this, right? I don't know. My great-grandpa married great-grandma, and whatever they developed and whatever their mindsets was, they passed it down my grandma. And that played into who she married and how they did family. And then if she didn't deal with it, she passed that down to mama. And then my mama met another man. And all these ways and identities are being intertwined, and then by the time you come, you got a little bit of grandma, great-grandmama, mama, great-great-great-grandmama, and God is saying, is there anyone in the bloodline that could just be with me for their life so that everything that comes after this can switch up? But we're in a culture that says, nope, you got to keep intertwining. You got to keep tying your soul. You need somebody. You got to be with somebody. You got to get this type of career. And you have families that will never, ever pause. I tell my kids now, you may not understand everything right now, but mama and daddy had to be the interruption. And so there are certain choices we had to make that they may not understand today, but their lives will be better for it. But if I continue what mama or uncle or grandma or grandpa, don't mean that what they did was bad. But what's easy to do is we go to the schools our daddies did and mamas did. The same pressure that was put on them is pressured on us. And we begin to duplicate the same types of people. And it don't mean they look the same, but mindsets are similar. And sometimes it's the detrimental mindsets that's the most potent in the personality. And then that person goes ahead and intertwine with somebody else, and we keep on breeding and getting further and further away from pure. Pure. And we get this ugly Rottweiler poodle. You know, little hood dogs just be down the street creeping. You better be careful who you sleep with when you're in heat. We should not be a walking contradiction. We should be continuity. We should be consistent. You follow me home, you follow me wherever. Airport, you follow me wherever. You see me when I'm mad, you see me when I'm happy, whatever. You should see continuity. You should see continuity. But there's this word that popped up. Ego identity. Ego identity is the sense of identity that provides individuals with the ability, say ability, ability to experience their sense of who they are and also act on that sense in a way that has continuity and sameness. We shouldn't be a walking contradiction. We should make sure, when we were little kids, man, that's the challenge with not being raised in a safe environment to develop. A good trainer will give you a pace, but also allow you to have a pace created as well. They're always going to try to push the pace, but a good trainer is going to give you space to develop a pace. And sometimes our parents, our parenting, our parents' parents, we didn't create room for development. We developed the way we thought you should be developed. Here we go. I have to take control as a parent because your behavior somehow impacts my image to my friends and family. So you're going to do things the way I tell you to do it. I've come to realize, here go revelation, my kids don't act like me in every way they do. I don't know where they got some of that behavior from, not me. Oh, you act just like, nope, that ain't what happened in my house. Our kids spend 6 to 8 hours a day with their friends in the world. Our friends are more, our children are more influenced by their friends right now than they are by their parents. That is natural. That is going to happen. All of them complaining about their family. But I think the beautiful thing is when you give them the space to develop, you could take you out of it somehow reflecting or speaking to your bad parent. A trainer is not a bad trainer because he lets you fail. Sometimes a trainer will let you fail so then they can see how to help you based on your makeup. You can't train me like the last person. Our body types are different. My drive is a little bit different. My muscles are long. His is short. They're a little different. So you got to adjust each workout. Every kid ain't the same. Every scenario ain't the same. 1977, different than 2017, 18, 19, 20. The enemy knows who you are and whose you are. But he has to test to see if you know. You give him information. So you can come in here all day. I'm a child of God. You shouldn't have said that because you're about to get tested this week. Now, you should have said it. But you got to back it up. Right? I reward confession. But I also challenge application. There's a price to pay to yell who you are. If you a gangbanger and you out there in the street, you like, hey, boy, Crip side up, hey. No, you better hide that bandana on your ankle and just walk through. The moment you identify who you are, somebody gonna test you. I'm hard. That's right. You look at rappers. Somebody gonna challenge your gangster. Ja Rule, 50 Cent. Even Christian rappers, we battling. Somebody gonna test you. Since when Christian rap about how dope I am? Since when? Why does our art have to be this thing where we boast so much? That's fine, boast. But you're gonna have to get challenged. Why? To authenticate you. You say you're a gangster in your music? Cool. We're gonna run up on you at the club. See how gangster you are. You ain't got a gun, you ain't gangster. We're going to snatch your chain. Maybe that don't happen in Vancouver. I don't know. Where I'm from, it happens. You get called out. You get tested. You don't get caught on social media throwing money in. No, you don't do that. You're going to get tested. You're going to get robbed. You're going to something. And we see time and time again, God permits and releases the enemy to test us. Why? It's God's authentication process. God needs the enemy to do his job. The enemy goes to the Lord, and the Lord says, go ahead and try Job. Well, why? Authentication. Jesus through the wilderness. The Holy Spirit. So that's why you can't blame the devil. The devil actually doing his job, and God is using him for the role he's called to play in the earth. To prove. Matthew 4 says, and the tempter, the who? Tempter. Come on, the who? Tempter. One more time, the what? Tempter. What is he doing? Tempting. He not winning, he just tempting. The tempter came and said to him, if you are gangster, let me see your grill. If you are, say that with me. If you are, come on, a little louder. Y'all sound weak right now. 1, 2, 3, say.
If you are.
Thank you, ladies. A little louder, fellas.
If you are.
If you are. Every day as a believer, guess what you're walking through? The if you are's. You say you love me? All right, we'll see. God's not tempting you. He's releasing the tempter. James 1 tells you that God can't tempt. He does not tempt. He is not deceitful. He is not trying to set you up, but he will allow the deceiver and the tempter to tempt you. Why? To authenticate. God knew Jesus was the Son of God, but Jesus needed to know he was the Son of God. It's one thing for Jesus to find himself in Isaiah. It's another thing for him to actually be who Isaiah said he was. It's one thing for you to say you're a follower of Jesus, but we need to try that out. I'm strong. Cool. You need to go through something to try your strength. You can stay in the weight room, you can practice, you can be in preseason all you want, but to truly prove that you've improved your game, you're going to have to what? Compete. Yeah. Christianity is a competitive sport. What's the game? Souls. It's a fight. It's a good fight of what? Faith. If you are God's son, command these stones to be made loaves of bread. And Jesus, we know, said, well, for it is written. He understood he was just being tempted. He had nothing to prove. And the test, part of the test is always dealing with your pride. You trying to do things on your own will. And Jesus says, nah, the Lord will provide for me. I could trust him. So then the devil does what? Tempt him again. Romans 8, the entire universe is standing on what? Tiptoe. High heels, got stilettos on. The whole earth got high heels on. And what are they doing? Yearning. They what? Yearning. They what? Yearning. Come on. They are what? Yearning to what? See. Not yearning to hear. I think the world has heard enough about Christians. They're waiting to see. We were given the name Christians in Antioch because they saw some followers. Unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. The unveiling, the coming out of the closet, the coming out of from behind, the coming from behind compromise, fear, timidity, trying to please everybody, we just love. No, I don't want to say that because I don't want them. No, sometime you need to say something. Bring them out. Tiptoe. They're looking. Where they at? I'll raise a hallelujah. They hear us. But when you under pressure, you raising an F word and a S word and a in the presence of my enemies. I'll raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I'm gonna sing or I'm gonna cuss in the middle of the storm. Yep, some of y'all louder and louder. You're gonna hear my No. The world is like, well, that ain't it. You'd be surprised the God chip that's in man's soul. And when I say the God chip, I don't care how much a sinner you are, when you encounter authentic believer, something inside of you goes off. What is it? Them demons, they get away. No, from no. There's a God chip in everybody. When you step on the scene, there's an alert that goes off. But if the chip can't pick up the signal, people still looking. You just came from church, but there's nothing that's like, they different. Their cry is different. Their singing is different. Their joy is different. There's something different about them. Identity has always been an issue for God's children. God's children, not the world. I don't think when you wanted to go club, you had an issue going to the club. You knew who you was. You was a clubber. I was very confident in the club. I was very confident buying that bottle. at the store. I was very confident rolling my weed in the sense of doing what I was doing. Clearly, mistreating my body was not confidence. It was insecurity. I'm dealing with something. I'm coping. I'm covering. But man, how do I die to myself and be confident that someone I can't see is working on my behalf? So what I'm always pursuing is tangible, right? I'm always pursuing, how do I hear God? We're always looking for audible. We're always looking for tangible. Can I help you? This is why identity, authentic, the signal is important. You are the tangible of God. Here's Jesus. When you see me, you see the Father. You are the tangible. People want to hear from God. That's why he sent ambassadors. So what the enemy wants you to do is remain confused in who you are. He wants you to speak for the Lord and speak for the world. Why? Because then the signal that's been placed in man's soul for God to find his, here we go. Fish in the sea, bears. How do scientists get the information they get? Why does the world want to give you a chip? Why does the mark of the beast? Why do we? It's this clone thing, because every child of God, every human being has a chip. That anytime God wants to reach you, he will, but he needs someone with a pure signal. You all are here because someone with a pure signal got your attention. They're not God, but they will bring you to. And that's why the enemy wants to contaminate your signal. He wants to disqualify your witness. You a phony, you a hypocrite. You ain't got integrity. You angry. They will know you by agape. Not eros, by agape, the purest love, unconditional, it can't touch it. And a couple more. Jeremiah chapter 1. Here's an example, and I'll give you a couple of people that God has to deal with, our identity. Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew and approved of you. You've been approved. Amen. Before you don't have to get approved. The authentication season is for you to discover what God knows about you. Before I formed you, I knew you and approved of you as my chosen what? Instrument. Not the enemy's instrument, not for the world to use you, but him to use you. And before you were born, I separated and set you apart, consecrating you, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations, or an evangelist, or a pastor, or an apostle. But before you were born, I appointed you. Why have we spent so much time in our life trying to be approved, certified, affirmed? The enemy knew you had already been approved before you was formed in your mother's womb. That's why as soon as you came out, he started disapproving you. He started changing identity. And he started generations ago. Single mom, love to party, 16, 15. How is that young lady going to speak identity into her child? So there's some room for error. That's why there's the blood, and that's why there's the saving mercy and grace of Jesus to fill the gaps. But man, we can't ignore, we can't use the blood as an excuse to avoid these insecurities. Oh man, I don't know if it's Holy Spirit or I don't know what it's going to be, but tonight we're going to get into I don't know. Don't quote me on this, but I have ready out of this dealing with, I really want to talk about familiar spirits. I believe today God wants to deliver. And when I'm talking about familiar spirits, we want to talk about the ways that familiar spirits enter your life. Divination. There's like 8 different ways that familiar spirits, as a kid and even adults, you have imaginary friends. To you, you can't see them. But to that kid, it's a real person. So what happens with that imaginary friend or in that dark room, you develop a relationship. Therefore, that person can speak to identity. Incubus, succubus. Wet dreams ain't just a thing. That's a demonic attack. But it's all intertwined with familiar spirits. It's all intertwined to identity. And if you have a tainted identity, you for sure will have a tainted purpose in your mind. And most people chase a purpose based off who they think they are. People perish for lack of knowledge. And these are things the church won't talk about. But you go down the street and find a place for palm reading right next to a church. How are we not talking about that? What does God say about a medium? We're in a day and age. You think mediums aren't real? They have reality shows. Conferences. You don't think that dream you had? You don't think that little, if you dealt with witchcraft, if you dealt with any of those things, all of these things shape identity. Some people come from cultures that's founded on witchcraft. Your parents put you over there because they cooking, a single parent, leave you with your toys, and all of a sudden you got an imaginary buddy for a few years. These aren't ideas, these are realities. But prayer pushes back darkness. And you can only be as free as the measure of knowledge you carry in that area. That's why he says, if the truth shall set you free, whom the Son sets free, when the Word sets you free, you're free indeed. But if you don't know that God deals with that, if you know the truth sets you free. The truth about a thing sets you free. What God says about it sets you free. And I think with a lack of identity, we have a lot of innocent bystanders in this room right now. Then here go Jeremiah says, ah, Lord God, here he goes. He's being called. And here he goes. Identity issue. He focuses on what he can't do. Instead of realizing if God called you to do it, you're going to do it. Instead of realizing before you was formed in your mother's womb, he had a plan for you that he cannot change. I cannot speak, for I'm only a youth. Excuse. Can't speak. Ability. Number 2, age. Here he goes. He talks himself out of what God has already spoken about him. How many times have you done that? Nah, that's not for me. I can't preach like Pastor T. I can't stand like that boy. I don't look like that girl. I'll never get somebody like that. Nah, look at me. I don't deserve a man like that. I don't deserve a job like that. My resume don't say this. And you automatically disqualify yourself. You won't apply for stuff because you're looking at your ability instead of looking at God told you to apply. Maybe God needed you to apply just to go to the interview to get a piece of information. It's not always about the job. Sometimes it's about a piece of information along while you're going what? Through. You like, because I can't get the job, I don't want to go. It might be that person you run into that says, hey, I can't hire you here, but I got a side business that you qualify for. Here, take my card and give me a call. You applied for your assignment and God had his there. But the Lord said to me, say not, I am only a youth. Don't tell me what your excuses are. Isaiah says, put me in memory of your merits, of your good deeds. Tell me what you can do. Show me what you're working with. For you shall go to all to whom I shall send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Man, this conversation everybody's had with God. And guess what? He hasn't changed his mind. And what did he say? Be not afraid. He's dealing with confidence. The excuse came from fear. It ain't that you can't talk. It's that the way you talk, you think you won't be accepted. It's not about how you talk. It's about you wanting to be accepted. It's about you saving yourself from shame. Be not afraid of them. Be not afraid of their faces. For I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Every time you point out your insufficiencies, he points to his sufficiencies. Your lack does not scare God off. Every assignment is based on what he's done, what he can, and what he will do, not what you can, can't, or have done. It's all based on what he's done, based on what he can do, and based on what he will do. It's not based on what you have done. And he's fulfilling a promise. He's performing a word. Say that with me on the count of three. One, two, three. One more time in unity. One more time a little louder with a little bit of energy. Now look to your neighbor and tell them, declare it to them exactly that. One, two, three. Give God a hand one more time, one more time, one more time. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are faithful and you love us. We thank you that we carry the mind of Christ. Thank you that we are imitators of you. Thank you that our true self is found in you, unchangeable, immovable. Lord, thank you for healing us today. May we not run from, think we got it all together. May we not ignore accountability. But may we take heed to the warning signs, the flags, the gentle suggestions of change. Holy Spirit, expose our blind spots. May we take the blinders off today.
Yes.
And be unafraid to see our brokenness. But even more so, be unafraid to pick up our wholeness.
Yes.
So today we lay down our brokenness and we pick up our wholeness. We thank you, God, for you are faithful, you are mighty, you are powerful. Thank you that the seed that is planted in our hearts today was sowed in the good ground, that you are working in people's hearts right now. You're working in people's minds right now. right now. Right where you are, just pray. You don't know who God is working on in this moment. You don't know who God is working on this moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We lay down our brokenness and pick up our wholeness.
Thanks for joining us. Stay connected with us by following us on social media at LoveQuest INTL Church. And join us next time as we receive another powerful Right Now word brought to us by our man of God, Pastor Terrence Richmond. Enjoy the rest of your day, and in the meantime, get your love fixed, man.